If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control.
Yeah.
The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did the paranormal encounters once experienced by a grandmother pass down to the next generations? That's a question we ask today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is! 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show and you would enjoy keeping this ship afloat, well, hey, please become an extra podcast person, as we call them, EPP. Sign up over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus material, the advanced episodes. It's all commercial free. Our ebook, our audiobook, those EPP bonus episodes, they're brand new ones for you every single week. And the archive of episodes, it's quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. Not even exaggerating. That is what it is. You get all that when you sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again.
Tony.
What's going on?
You know, not a whole lot. I was out working in my yard today, which is kind of cool. I'm really excited about it being spring.
Any more corpses?
You know what? I have no. And I'm pretty happy about that. I would just like to leave it at the two.
Yeah.
The robin mm-hmm. and the raccoon. So maybe it's just birds and animals that start with the letter R that die in my... So if a rhinoceros shows up, it's going to be dead.
That would be interesting.
That would be crazy, wouldn't it? That would scare the shit out of me.
That'd be a great call. It'd be a great 911 call. There's a rhinoceros that has died in my backyard.
I'm just telling you, it's back there.
Seriously, I live behind the Sedgwick County Zoo. Yeah,
I don't know how to get it out of my yard.
That would be... And the thing is, if you were by the zoo, I guess that could theoretically be a possibility, but it would... someone would have to certainly have a way of getting that thing out of there. That would be creepy to have that something like that back there. And kind
of
cool.
They have a baby rhino here at our zoo.
Really?
And yes, you haven't been able to see it yet. And they didn't know the mom was pregnant. And all of a sudden, they just had a baby. And it is so adorable. It doesn't even look real.
Did it come to them pregnant or did it
get knocked up by the other rhino? Somehow or another, I think, have done it before and nothing ever happened. Oh. And then it happened and it happened. But they didn't realize. Because it's not like you're going to, they're pretty big.
Yeah.
Really big. So it's not like you can just walk up and go, oh, come here, let me feel your belly.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I think they're kind of wide in that area anyway. And the baby's not that big, you know, considering how big they are.
Yeah, they start out really, really small.
Yeah, I'll send you pictures. Oh. But it's the most adorable thing you've ever seen.
That is cool. You have a good zoo there. If anyone is ever in near Wichita, the
Sedgwick County Zoo.
It is. It is one of the, you know, for not being like Chicago or something, you know, a mid-sized city, it's a damn good zoo. I would put it up against like Denver in that.
Yeah, it's like the number one attraction in my state.
Yeah.
But what they've done a lot of things really well, but they have really tried hard to create natural habitats for them. Mm-hmm. So there are very, 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 very few animals in cages.
Yeah.
And they're all in, you know, like the gorillas have this gorilla habitat.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a behind the scenes tour of the zoo, and it's really impressive to see what they do. And, but you know, they've spent a lot of money on it, but it just makes you feel better about going to the zoo
because
it looks like they're enjoying their lives.
Yeah.
They're kind of living their best lives.
Yeah. I mean, it is, it's a wonderful zoo. I'm always amazed if I'm ever there and it's, you know, not middle of winter or something. I like to go there because it's just, it's such a cool place to check out. So yeah, there's a plug for the zoo because it's a great place. And they put out, they do a great Halloween party thing too when it's not COVID. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Is it at Halloween or is that, right? They do a Halloween thing, don't they?
They do, but they do this big fundraiser.
Zubilee
party.
Is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
The fundraiser party.
Yep. I remember that. That was the like crazy big party there. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyhow, now first story says thank you for the opportunity to share a couple of stories. My daughter and I have been greatly enjoying the stories you share. I decided I want to share a few encounters centered around my family's mid 18th century farmhouse. The house and the surrounding acreage have been in the family for several generations now and continue to be a place in our hearts. We always gather there no matter how long one of us has been away. I'll admit I never liked the house much when I was younger. Part of it had to deal with the family members living there at the time, but I always could feel a thickness in the air. For much of my life, I refused to enter the house on my own. I would say I'm sensitive and receptive to people's emotions, whether they are living. My grandmother, who grew up in the house, said they had always been multiple entities who would let themselves be known. One was an infant who was thought to be buried in the basement a long time ago. A corner was always cold and avoided it at all costs. My mother, who also grew up there, said she and her siblings always made sure to stay in the attic, where they often slept and to never venture downstairs in the dark. No one has ever experienced anything particularly scary, and certainly never anything hurtful. It just seems to be a constant reminder in the air of the house's history. The most common occurrence would be the phantom car that comes up the driveway. You can hear what sounds like my great-grandfather's pickup. You can clearly hear the door shut after someone gets out. It's such a frequent occurrence, we pay it no attention until we hear a living voice. The dog still gets excited every time, thinking someone has come to visit. One of my brothers lived in the house for a time. He said at first he would hear noises at night and prayed the old house was just infested with rats. On several occasions, he heard a ball being rolled and bounced along the upstairs hallways. Sometimes he'd hear small feet chasing after the ball. The strangest thing he ever came across was a small doll. It was stuffed and made of cotton. It did not have any facial features, as is customary in the Amish community. He walked out of his downstairs bedroom and he saw something out of the corner of his eye. He lived alone at the time, and this doll had mysteriously appeared at the top of the stairs. He decided to put it in the kitchen to keep an eye on it. It never moved far after that, but would occasionally change positions. We thought perhaps the doll was lonely. My most recent experience there happened just a few months ago. While I used to avoid the basement at all costs, the feeling of the house has changed with the presence of my brother, his wife, and his four children. I walked downstairs to fetch something and suddenly felt as if I could not take another step. I was aware of what was happening, but powerless to move away from the spot. I suddenly began to cry uncontrollably with no provocation. Just as soon as the feeling overcame me, it passed. I got what I needed and walked back upstairs. My brother asked me if everything was okay, and I told him I was not sure. This is but a small example of the experiences centered around the old farmhouse. Our family was recently forced to sell the other family farm located just a few miles away. I have very fond memories of that home and hope to share them soon. Thoughts on that?
Well, number one, it's bad when you're wishing that you had an infestation of rats. That's never good. It's like, if only I had an infestation of rats.
Yeah. Knew you were waiting for an infestation of rats.
I lived in a house once that I thought was like, I'm like, oh my God, things are happening like that, and I'm hearing things, and then I realized it was an infestation of mice.
Oh, God.
And that's what I was hearing in the walls, because I'm hearing the stuff in the walls, and I live in my bedroom was on the second floor.
Yeah.
And then I realized, I'm like, oh, my God, it's mice. They were everywhere. And, yeah, so it's bad if you're wishing for that.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting that they hear a car.
That's a very distinct sound,
too, when a car door shuts.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something you're really going to mistake for. And usually when you hear the car pull up and a car door shut, it's not like, you know, you're expecting it. It's like you just hear it and it's like, oh, got company, or oh, Bob's home, or whatever. Yeah. It's like, oh, ghost grandpa's just driven his ghost car up.
Here's an interesting one. I mean, and it sounds like they're hearing that in normal hours of the day. What I always had, and I look back on this and I just think it was conditioning. I think it was because I heard this same sound every morning at like 7 a.m. It was my dad going to work, and it was the sound of him backing his truck out of the garage door shutting, the crunch of the gravel, and then, you know, him putting it in drive and then going forward up the driveway and the crunch of the gravel going up the side of the house. When I moved, when I was 18, I still sat there and I could swear to God I was hearing it for years in the morning. I was in a completely different area of the state. You know, my dad was not going to work outside my window, but I would hear it every morning at that same time. And enough so, like, where I'd be laying there with my eyes open for a little bit, and I'd think I was hearing it and be like, wait a second, what the hell? And it was just weird how long that stayed ingrained in my mind. I can't say I've had it anytime recently, maybe once in the last 5 years. It's been very, very sporadic. But it was just so damn real sounding. I've never had anything where, you know, the repetition of it, you know, almost like is like Pavlovian to me, where it's like ring the bell. It was just so real. And is that something where, you know, was that all just in my head, or was there something about the energy that was always there surrounding me that this would happen, that I kept hearing it? My dad isn't dead or anything.
Right.
So it's,
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a very audible person, but I get that. I get the, we've talked about the exploding head syndrome too sometimes, where I'd be laying down and I'll hear a big bang, and there was no bang, but it sounded so real to me that it will jolt me awake. And I don't know what the hell that is. And I don't think anything's actually audibly making noise. I mean, if I had a tape recorder, I don't think I would pick any of these things up. So I don't know. It's just kind of weird. It's usually, though, for me, I cannot say I'm always 100% awake. I'm at least at some percentage point in a sleepish state. So that's where I think that's usually what it is. At least that's what I'll tell myself.
But what I think they're hearing is maybe paranormal.
I think what they're hearing is, especially if it's not like at bedtime or the morning, if it's like, you know, 3 p.m, the way they said it, like the only time that they pay attention to it is if they hear like the door shut or something. So, yeah,
because like no matter what you're doing, you hear a car door shut and you think, oh, somebody's here.
Yeah. So I think what they're experiencing is paranormal and not just like a figment of your imagination or a product of audible conditioning. But yeah, and what that is, I don't know. What would be really interesting, what I wonder about those things where audible sounds are being made and people are hearing things, is there something manipulating the environment out there? Like if you were to have a camera on that driveway, would you see the gravel, you know, kind of bumping up a little bit and crackling as the ghost car drives over it? And that's the sounds that they're hearing? Or is it just the sound that's coming out of this? And really, there's nothing that's truly being manipulated physically to create that sound.
I just had this most random thought.
Yeah.
It's like, thank God grandpa wasn't a Shriner and like, was totally into his little Shriner parades. With all respect to Shriners, they do wonderful work.
Sure.
But can you imagine, like, mom, like the clown cars and stuff.
Every night at 3 a.m., grandpa has the Shriner parade.
Those guys love being in the Shriner parades.
Yes. Oh, that would
they
be...
do great work. They really do. But it's just like they always look like they're having a blast. That would just be funny if you got haunted by your grandfather's Shriner mobile.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, off subject.
No, no. That's funny. Let's move on to a phone call. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, my name is Ashley. So last night, it happened last night, I'm laying in bed. Let me tell you, before I tell you this, I'm being completely honest. Something happened last night and I think it's a miracle. So I'm laying in bed. The first time I turned my light off in weeks, because I've been nervous because I'm very sensitive and have a lot of out-of-body experiences. Well, I'm laying down and all of a sudden it felt like all the air from my body came out of my body. And I opened my eyes and I was barely breathing, but I was comfortable. I wasn't struggling to breathe. I opened my eyes and I seen this pink and blue light coming from my body very strongly. It wasn't just a little bit, like it was very strong. So the shape of it wasn't the shape of DNA, but at the ends was a little pointy and it came out of my body. I was really comfortable. So I went back to sleep. 2 seconds later, not even kidding, it happened again. I opened my eyes. I seen the light come out of my body. And I'm saying it was so bright. I didn't see anything else. And all of a sudden I closed my eyes and I started to go back to sleep. A couple minutes later, I felt somebody poked my foot so strongly that my toe moved, and when they poked me, it shocked me, and it was very warm. I opened my eyes, and let me tell you, my room, the light was off. I opened my eyes, and right in front of my closet was, I don't know, an angel, somebody. They were glowing gold. The whole body was glowing gold, and they were very big, and I got so scared. I shouldn't have been scared, but anyways, I turned on my light and I just started praying. I'm like, dear God, I don't know what's going on. I just want to thank you for whoever's watching over me, this and that. So I'm relaxing and I usually take sleeping medicine to go to sleep. And last night I didn't. And for some reason, within minutes of somebody touching my foot, I felt a hand, made out of just energy, like tingling energy, touch my foot and put pressure on my foot. My feet were crossed. I'm laying on my bed, my lights on. And as the minutes go by, I'm very comfortable and I'm thankful. You know, I'm very open to it. More hands were being placed on my feet. And these hands started just pushing down and just, I don't know, it felt like a healing. So I'm just like, wow, I'm so thankful right now. I know some people are scared of stuff like that, but it really, really interests me. And I feel so close to it. So literally it felt like there were 10 hands on my feet pushing down. My feet were numb. They were heavy. I felt as if they were as heavy as human hands, but it was in an energy and they're moving around their hands on my feet. And I could hear this faint voice say, Ashley, you're healing. It's time to heal the way, this and that. So I'm thankful. And let me tell you, this happened for about the course of a couple hours. I'm laying in bed and I'm very comfortable. All of a sudden, my legs started, I felt hands on my legs. So I'm like, okay. And then I'll tell you this, within 5 minutes, my entire body, there were hands all over my entire body besides my face. And they were just moving. There was somebody holding on to my left arm, pulling my arm out, you know, as if somebody's giving you a massage. They pull your arm out like as if they're going to pull it out of socket, but they don't. Then they push it back in. So that happened in and out. Someone's pulling on my arm, picking it back up. And I kept hearing these really, really nice voices say, Ashley, you're healing. You're healing. And my whole entire body within minutes felt like it was inside of a visible cocoon. My whole body felt tight. It felt as if there were over 50 hands on my body just moving around very strongly, as if there was a human next to me. I'm not even kidding, I swear. And then all of a sudden, my face started, I started feeling it on my face. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's new, because I haven't felt it on my face for about an hour now. And then all of a sudden, it's on my face. And I hear this voice say, Ashley, We're opening your third eye. It is time. I'm not even kidding. I know this sounds really weird, but I swear it happened. As that happened, my eyes closed and I heard open your eyes, and my eyes just instinctively opened. And I heard this voice say, now say it. And then I didn't even mean to say anything. And the word wow just came out of my mouth without even me realizing I'm saying it. Then my eyes closed. And I had an out-of-body experience. I don't know what, if any of you guys know what an out-of-body experience is. It's where your body goes into like a deep, heavy state, and you kind of float out of your body. Well, what happened was I start going up. I'm hovering out of my body. I felt this hand grab my arm and pull me up really fast. Next thing you know, I was in a place of pure bliss. Everything was light. This happened for over the course of about an hour and a half I was there. Usually it only lasts for a couple minutes, maybe even less. This time it was real. I met a man and he was just telling me, let me tell you how they looked. Everyone was made out of light. Everything was light. There was no worries. It's as if my brain left my body. Everything was just perfect. I did not have to think of what to do. I didn't even have a thought. Everything was so perfect. I heard the word, it's as if it was so perfect. I was remembering bits and pieces. And then a little bit later, as it was still happening, I would hear random things as if I was talking to them. And it was so amazing. And I remember distinctively a voice saying, I think it was me or somebody was telling me, it is time, you're in heaven. And I was like, my gosh, something about the word heaven. And I just felt so comfortable and at peace. It was absolutely perfect. And this man was telling me, Ashley, now you know the power of the body. The human body is the most powerful thing ever. If people knew what the human body can do, it would be great. And they were just telling me, Ashley, you did it. I'm so proud of you. And next thing you know, I start almost falling back into my body, and then a hand from underneath grabs me and it started pulling me down past my bed. And I'm floating still. I float through my body. I fall into the ground. I'm just comfortable. I'm going with it. No joke. I'm going with it. And then I relax and someone hugs me. Like they just kind of hug me, but it felt tingly. It felt, the sensation was euphoric. It was all perfect. I cannot describe it, every moment. And so I got pulled back up and I kept hearing, like, I would be moving around and everything was just so different, and hands would be touching me. And then I would have this weird thought, you know, like a hand's a little too close or something weird, you know, but then I wouldn't think wrongly of it just because everything was so perfect. And I felt like nothing was wrong. Everything was good. And then I heard this voice, Ashley, your body know what it wants. It, you know, this and that. And they were just they were practically healing me. And recently, over the course of the past couple of months, when I've done out-of-body experiences and such, I've heard the word way a lot. And I had no idea what the way is. It's like a connection. It's a state. It's beautiful. I don't even know how to describe it. It's very, very hard to describe. But I kept hearing a lot that it has been around me, and there's been a lot having to do with it going on. And when they were healing, they were saying, we're healing the way, it is time. And they just felt so, so strong and so perfect. I have no idea how to describe. I know when you hear of stories like this, it's very, very hard to believe. But this, I went out on a limb to tell you guys, because it was so special to me. And it was literally one of the most amazingest moments of my life that I was iffy about telling you guys, because it just meant so much to me. But I just want to give you guys hope and tell you guys that miracles happen. And one happened to me last night, and I'm never going to forget about it. And I just want you guys, I know you guys are used to hearing the scary ghost stories, this and that, but this one, this is a little different. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope to be hearing your guys' story soon.
Thank you for sharing that. You know, you're right. I mean, you hear it and you're like, how is this happening? But she delivered it in such an authentic and real way that I believe that she had this experience for herself. Now, where it all comes from, that's a whole other thing. You know, like, what? Why is this happening? How is it happening? But it's, you know, she had an experience.
Right. And I, like, number one, I've never had that happen to me, so I can't really, like, it must be this or that, because sure, I don't have any reference point on this one.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just, we hear these crazy stories all the time, and then, you know, I've had some crazy shit happen in my life. Who am I to judge that one?
Sure.
Like, you know, so I'm glad that she's comfortable to share it, because if something like that happens to you, you should be able to share it without judgment and share that experience with someone else.
Yeah.
Because I've never had anything like that happen to me.
No.
I was thinking as she was telling it, if I was feeling hands on my feet, I don't like anybody touching my feet. But you know what I mean? If I was feeling something, she kept saying, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it would take me a while. I would be scared to death. Like, what's the matter with my feet?
Yeah.
I got to call 911. But her reaction to it was very different than what mine would be. So, you know, I think a lot of us, excuse me. And I think with some kind of, you know, paranormal encounter, I think you can kind of shut your brain down to it.
Sure.
So a lot of people are like, I've never experienced a ghost.
Yeah.
But they're really shut off to it. Well, what if what she went through, regular Joes like you and me, we're mm-hmm. shut off to that.
Yeah.
You know, if you could maybe get that sensation and go with it and be thankful and do what she had done.
She seemed to have a real positive vibe about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and she was excited about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I've never heard anything quite like that.
No.
But what it reminded me of, but the story didn't include it, like she had been in a car accident or there was a surgery that she was in, and next thing you know, she was floating above her body and there's light. And there, you know, you hear those near-death experiences, but I've never heard, that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah. It's like she had that without having the near-death part.
Right.
Or did she?
Which is very, exactly. Was she breathing and not breathing and just didn't know it?
That's the part we're wondering about. I mean, I don't, I mean, that could almost, I mean, that's in theory, I guess that could be part of the story. If there was something going on health-wise that maybe even she wasn't aware of, and somehow it was pulling her into this state, you know, I don't know. It's, it was quite a story. So thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our number to share your real ghost story with us at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
So I have a story about multiple dreams that I've had, and I need to see if more I can get an interpretation or your perspective on the interpretation of it. My name is Crystal. I'm from California. In 2005, my uncle and I, who were very close, he was like my best friend, we decided to move to Las Vegas. It was him, his girlfriend, his kid, and myself. So we took this journey to move to Las Vegas to live a better life. And on the drive out there, it was only him and I in my car driving. We had a very long talk, pretty much. It was a 4-hour drive. We talked the whole way there about what he wanted me to focus on and do to better my life and, you know, make a pretty good life out there for myself. Well, things happen, and he ended up passing away while we lived out there, maybe about a month in. And I took it really hard, really hard. Mind you, we were very close. He was like my best friend, my uncle, my big brother, my everything. And I keep having dreams every now and again of him trying to talk to me, and he's calling me to come with him. And all I can see is a long road of desert, which is pretty much the same path that we took to get to Vegas. And I don't understand if he wants me to go back out there to Vegas and continue living my life out there. I don't know what he's asking me to come follow him for. Like, where am I supposed to follow him to? So if I can just get some interpretation on this dream, I'm really lost about it. And I keep having this dream repeatedly throughout the years. Mind you, again, he passed away in 2005. We're now 2020. And I would just really like to get your input on this. Thank you.
What are your thoughts on the dream situation there?
I have a thought on this.
Yeah.
So I think she's taking it more literally than maybe what it's meant to be. That she has that incredible memory of them in the drive, but now he's there, she's here, and there's that space between them.
Mm-hmm.
And that space is going to be there. She can't get to him, but he's there. So maybe it's more of a, rather than try to get to him, to accept where he is and know that he's there, if that made any sense.
I think it did. And we'll replay it a few different ways and remix it and see if it makes more sense. No, but I get what you're saying.
But when somebody dies, you can't see them. You can't get to them, except sometimes in dreams, but you can't. It's not like you can get to them. I think that there's a communication that could be open. I mean, I had that weird experience with my boyfriend.
Sure.
But he's there for her. So she could talk to him. He can watch over her. You know what I mean? Rather mm-hmm. than the literal, she doesn't need to go to him. He's there for her.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that space in between. And that space in between, if that's the drive, what it was like to Las Vegas, that's such a beautiful memory for her. So that kind of holds a special place. Not that she has to go back there.
Yeah.
But just that he's there for her. Just not physically right there for her. I don't know. That could be crazy. What do you think?
I'm on the same page. I'm going to go with you. I am. I think that it's very much something like that, where it's a message that they're there, and you can interpret it a couple different ways, but I think the gist of everything that you said is pretty accurate to what is going on in that situation. So thank you for sharing that dream with us. But
once again, let me add this. Yeah. I love those kind of dreams. I say that all the time, but I think that the fact that he's communicating with her at all, and maybe one time once she kind of opens up to it, and sees it slightly differently, maybe the dream will change a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think that's pretty cool that he comes to her in her dreams.
I do too. Thank you for sharing that one. 855-853-4802 is our number. That's going to wrap up the show for the day. If you enjoy us, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, EPP as we call them, over at ghostpodcast.com. or patreon.com/realghoststories. We would love to have you get all the bonus content, and you help keep the show on the air. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.